pole.
Hello, Storm.
Never mind. All right.
Oh!
Hey, Storm Larger. Just, do we have some sort of an opening for Storm?
I have the old Rockstar Supernova thing. That's about it.
Oh, hold on.
You
I have something.
Storms bring a rash on her neck.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I think I have, wait. No. This is exciting.
Come on, you can find something.
Hold on.
We were a lesbian couple.
There we go. Fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
Wait.
Okay. I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Okay, there we go.
Was that the whore than a patty cake?
And finally?
I smelled my hand and I made everyone else smell my hand. What is wrong with
That's
you?
That's awesome.
We were a lesbian couple. I don't like you. I don't want to spend the whole night fucking... I want to get laid tonight. I so don't like you.
You know what it is? This is like a Sarah Dillon... what are those things not to speak and spell? What are those things? It's like the circle, and you put the cow says.
The cow says.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sarah says.
Sarah Dillon.
Slutty
and I'm gonna get laid tonight.
Fantastic. Excellent. There
those
you
are
go.
So out of context. I actually say I'm gay all the time.
I don't know. It makes me feel really welcome.
There you go. That's what I'm
it's
talking about.
It's a great
about.
Welcoming thing.
I'm glad you feel welcome.
All right. Storm Large, how are you, sister?
I'm
what
good,
brings
how
you by?
Are you? I was in the neighborhood and
you know, Davey came by on Monday.
I know. He was in like he was in court.
Yeah.
As a juror, by the way, which is not as the defendant in any way.
No, he didn't hit me. I just fell.
It's because he loves you.
I fell because I just don't know how to listen.
I want you to have some cake, Tina!
No, he was on jury duty. He stopped by, and I was in the neighborhood and wanted to stop by and say hello.
Yeah.
I haven't been here in a long time. So.
No, that's, and here we are in the tiny broadcasting closet of CBS Radio. So.
More things on the walls.
More things on the walls. Oh, lovely, lovely. Yeah. There I am. Look at me.
By the way, you will note that because we were professional, we never did call out the Oregonian on having a storm watch, which we did like weeks and weeks and weeks
it's
before the
not that. I think everybody did that.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. If I were a lesser person, I would have complained loudly.
I think
about
that's
it,
what
so.
I mean. I think Dave Navarro was saying it too. Is Stormwatch 2006 or something like that? Yeah, that was.
Hey, so real quickly, speaking of Dave Navarro, somebody asked me, and I don't know, because Davey had given me a copy of it beforehand, so I don't know the answer to this. Somebody had asked if that Ladylike with Dave Navarro was on iTunes.
Yes,
if you
it
can,
is.
If that's the way to get it.
It is on iTunes. It's on, apparently, 19 digital outlets, and I don't know what the other... I know there's iRiver, iTunes, and I don't know of any other, but there's supposedly 19 out there, and you can get them on all 19.
Excellent.
But it's out there. It's doing very well. It's very exciting indeed.
All right, Storm Large, worst smell on earth?
Worst?
We are on the radio, of course, but the first thing that comes, I don't want you to be like, you know, because I can look inside that head of yours and see any number of things we can't
even
say.
Even with a hat on. Okay, worst smell.
Get the dump button ready.
God.
My hand is over the delay.
Well, so far we have, I have the tomato juice, I have like the tomato soup and vomit smell right when you pass Dino's when you're going up Hawthorne.
Oh, that's
right.
Pretty bad.
That's a really bad one. And what was yours, Rick?
Well, no, it was two things. And I hadn't thought about that until you had mentioned it. Is that Sarah and I take the same bicycle path to work, and it's like a Dairy Gold factory. And it's, I forget anyone what the street is, but you, and it, you called it a vomity what smell?
Like applesauce.
A vomity applesauce smell. For me, it's more like, it's more
it's
like
whatever when you go.
There's no reflection on Dairy Gold and their products, by the way. I'm sure that this is not because here's the thing. Okay, it's not just the Dairy Gold factory. There's a Dairy Gold factory, and then there's like a packing station for Chinese food there.
No, and Nate told me that he thinks that they do
eat
some
dogs.
Of the cow killing down there.
The cow killing.
Oh, Cowschwitz. Cowschwitz at the Harris Ranch on the I-5. That's pretty bad. Have you ever gone? Have you
oh,
ever
is it a rendering plant?
No, it's a stockade. It's have you ever driven from San Francisco to Los Angeles on the 5?
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, anybody who's ever been in a van on tour knows that they need to ride around Coalinga, roll up the windows pretty tight, maybe burn some incense because it is. We call it Cowschwitz because they're all on top of each other, standing in their own filth, and they're
just like
coming off.
Just like they're in one of those Russian baths.
Oh, it's so disgusting. That's a horrible smell. It's kind of like fruity butt smell. Like someone,
fruit smell mixed with like vomit or garbage or anything. It's
vomit,
so wrong.
Yeah, vomit is really bad. Any kind of eggy, milky, fruity.
We are out of the lunch hour, by the way, you bastard. So you
That's
can just
awesome.
Take this.
You started it, Rick.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, people come. We made a guy
Storm,
vomit
worst
earlier.
Smell ever.
We made. I'm just saying.
Was it with the gray furball in the milk story?
The gray furball in the milk.
I get a lot of flack because, and I don't do it intentionally, but just horrible subjects like this always seem to come up during the news hour. And it is just happenstance. It's not by any design. But is Sarah, I don't even remember how we got into the subject. We were talking about rotten milk. And then Sarah's like, I was doing it some milk one time and there was a gray squishy fur ball inside of it.
Oh!
And then it was a whole lot of like, what?
And I had already drank half the glass.
That and was, that's, ooh. See, and at that point when you've already put half of it down, that's the worst.
That reminds me of a story I heard about a guy who was making protein shakes all the time and he had all this.
Is that code for something?
No, 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 powder. Like, you know, you get the weight gainer powder and the eggs and like do the rock thing.
Yeah.
And he apparently didn't notice that a mouse got into his wheat germ or whatever. And so oh, no, no.
Wait, it doesn't involve a blender, does it?
No, it's the post-blender. Apparently, he had already blended everything, but this mouse got into his smoothie, and and you're at the end of the smoothie, and you're kind of tapping the glass.
Oh!
Oh!
No!
Bam!
Nice, soggy banana mouse.
Oh,
I'm going to write that down, too.
Soggy banana mouse?
Soggy banana mouse.
That's my side.
What was that?
That's my stripper name.
Here's and on the main stage, please welcome Soggy Banana Mouse.
Lately, we've developed a whole bunch of phrases on this program.
A lot of them have banana in them.
That mean nothing.
Was a Wichita banana?
Wenatchee banana. A phrase that, by the way, means nothing, but sounds like it ought to mean something.
Oh, yeah.
We have Wenatchee banana, and then we had this weather condition they have called the Pineapple Express.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
That sounds like
funny.
To me, Pineapple Express sounds like you're humping a big Samoan.
Ooh,
that's what it sounds like.
Pineapple Express.
No, you know what I mean? It's like a Polynesian.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
What? Why?
Why not?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
They're people. Do they not have needs?
They need. Sorry.
Do the Samoans among us not also need the human touch, Sarah?
Are you looking to ride the Pineapple Express, Rick?
Ooh. There was once a large Samoan named Fau Fau Napoleon, which there is a legendary tales about from my father involving, not pineapples, but, well, maybe when we're off the air.
Moving forward.
Yes.
So, anywho, and then we ended up, and we got into this story about the fur ball in Sarah's milk, and it's like an awful, horrible, in hell variation of that. Your chocolate is in my peanut butter, but it was like a your dead rat is in my sandwich.
Oh.
And let's see, and we got this, Rick. There's some guy that brings deli fresh sandwiches and food to my place of employment. I have purchased food there twice.
Uh-oh.
The first time I got a tuna sandwich, two bites in, my front teeth crunched down on what was clearly a thick hair. I pulled it out of my mouth. It was dark, thick, and more than a little curly.
Oh.
The second time, I bought a salad. Halfway through, I again found a thick and more than a little curly hair on the food. It is now all I can do to not drop kick the guy in the face every time I see him bringing his hair infested food to sell to the moronic idiots I work with. I have told all of my coworkers on numerous occasions his food is infested with short and curly hair. Strangely, they do not seem to mind. All right.
I'm so happy I forgot lunch today.
How about this one? We are also talking about the phenomenon that parents have of never believing you when you say you don't want to eat something or when something is vile or something is making you wretch, and your parents never, you'll learn to like it. Keep eating.
Yeah. When they boil the Brussels sprouts so they turn into like a green foam.
And the parents, man, there's no food that my parents didn't enjoy overcooking until it was just a gelatinous goo.
Yeah.
How about this, Rick? When I was 5 or 6 years old, my folks told me to eat the beans in front of me. I don't like them. They make me feel funny, I said. That was the wrong answer on my part. I ate them, trying to swallow as much as possible without chewing. That didn't last long, because soon I was barking at my shoes.
Oh.
Rick, you don't know what it feels like to have beans come out your nose. It's not something you want to, and the final email about this, and then we'll move on.
No, we won't.
Read what the people give me. This is the one that I was trying to find. Rick, you remember it was the lunch hour, so thanks to the milk stories, you made me lose all of my Taco Bell that I just consumed. By the way, thanks. So there you go. So we did actually make somebody hurl. So there you go.
Well, you know, Taco Bell can maybe do that on its own volition as well.
Except for their 7-layer supreme wrap.
Who is the fast food place that has that? I saw a commercial for it. I thought it could not possibly be real. It's a bucket. Must be the chicken place.
Oh, KFC.
The fried
nuggets, the mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, and melted cheese all over it. In a bucket.
In a bucket?
Well, yes. In America, though, you can take, I forgot who was who said this, you can take two things that have never been fastened together before, fasten them together, and there will be a market for that product.
Good
whatever
God.
It is. What is this? Well, it's a crescent wrench with a popsicle on the side. And there'll be some guy like, well, I've needed this. I need icy refreshment while I'm putting in a new shower head. And that's so it is with the bowl of you know, whatever it is, the bowl of stuff for you, whatever.
It just
you know.
Sounds like for the faction of people who have to wash themselves with a rag on a stick. You know, it's just not, it's not appropriate for this day and age where obesity is killing everybody.
Why am I so fat? Maybe I gotta get my stomach stapled.
It's like, no, maybe you should have a salad and go for a walk. Don't eat the bucket of fried chicken, potatoes, corn, gravy, and melted cheese.
They need energy for finding those difficult to reach goals.
So is it really a...
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Now.
We had this story a couple of weeks ago.
In between the fold?
In between the cheese of the fold cheese.
Oh,
yes.
I'm writing down all the phrases today.
Fold cheese.
Fold cheese. What was that phrase?
I'm losing control of my limbs. I'm so gross.
What was that?
I don't know. I'm getting all turned on and tingly.
Fold cheese. Say it slow. I want to get laid tonight.
What was this? What was that phrase we had earlier? That guy. What was that woman's name? It was like Alicia or whatever the hell her name was. Suddenly, Alicia had something warm and mushy in her mouth.
Oh!
I was talking about. I didn't want to repeat the story.
No, I can't remember it.
There was a story we had from Brooklyn. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. Some woman, she goes into the hospital to get whatever, the checkup or whatever it is. People who weigh 900 pounds do. And they rolled her on in there, you know, gloop style. And then the guy, you know, she's like, I have a stabbing pain. I can't seem to figure out where it's coming from. And the doctor, you know, and it's sort of like opening a fleshy clam. Doctor just looking through one fold after another on the stomach. And right here on her stomach, she had a stomach fold. And he reaches in, and I swear to God, we had the story. It was a remote control that had just gotten lost somewhere in there. And so here's your problem right here.
Did
you know,
the skin start to grow around it?
Well, do you remember? No.
Ew.
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
See, once you put us on this particular freight train, it's like, I can go on this all day because the audience is strangely fascinated by these stories.
I think everyone is, and they just don't want to say it.
That, no, anytime we have stories about horrifically fat people, vile things you found in your food, things that smell bad, or a time that you accidentally burned your testicles in a wood stove. We had a guy took a staple gun accidentally to his junk one time, and it just triggered an hour's worth of calls about it. This one time I was using a hydraulic nail gun. Now,
to
I was
macerate?
Nude.
Come on.
No.
I've heard of really great burn stories. That's people, like, coming up with interesting ways to like, young boys.
To pleasure oneself.
And one of the common great...
Be circumspect here.
Yes. One of the great ideas someone came up with was putting a melon in a microwave. And
seems burning.
What?
Yeah, well, what little kids didn't seem to... What the youngster didn't seem to realize was that when you heat up a melon... To the point where it's warm on the outside, it's molten burning on the inside.
It's like having sex with Vesuvius.
Pretty much.
So the melon and then you...
He had to...
You take out a portion of the melon?
Why are my pants filled with ash?
How do you explain that to your
mom? A melon?
No, this guy... Well,
honeydew melon. I don't know. He never did it again. It bit him pretty hard, I guess.
Was this Davey?
No.
Let me just...
He's an old-fashioned man.
I've
he doesn't go the way of the fruit.
I've talked about this in the past, though, that if you are a woman, you need to know this. And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen with women, too. But I'm saying I can only speak from the male perspective. That...
I think I know what you're going to say.
Really, when I just say, like, conjure up in your head an inanimate object. Mm-hmm. Any noun. And the odds are about 1 in 3. That at one point, the man you currently call lover...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you flash back to him, 14 years old.
Yeah,
you know, so dad can't find the you know, the tennis racket and a vice or something, and it's like there's you know, why are you running the water so low? I'm doing my hair.
Yeah,
you know, just, you know, it's true. Alice Cooper tells a story about the never mind. I'll move on about that real quickly. The story about the fold and the woman and the hay with my remote.
Thing.
You had mentioned growing up. We had I think it was. Recent enough that you were on the show, I think it's when we were at Entercom, there was a story with accompanying photographs about a woman who had not gotten off one of those stories. And they're all
yes, I remember this story.
She hadn't gotten off the sofa for like 2.5 years.
It was a leather sofa?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And
And we're all
she
getting
was,
up and adjusting her clothing.
It was one of those great stories where they had to, the door, they tried taking the door off the hinges. That didn't work. And they actually had to cut just a huge cave-like opening
like
in front of
Gilbert
Grape. Totally,
yeah.
Exactly.
Aww.
And it was one of those where she hadn't gone to, like, she had to make that phone call.
I can't come into work. No, I'm too fat. No, I can't. I tried to get out the door, and that's a no-go. Can you, I'm going to telecommute today.
Anyway, and so, but she, okay, and so she dies finally.
Oh.
Go figure.
Yeah, right.
And they come in, and then, and this, oh, God, and it was like, the husband calls the fire department, and he's sort of like, you know, you
was
need to come for my wife.
Was he trapped in her fold?
No.
Please, my wife has finally died, and now I'm free.
No, but
I didn't think that she had a husband. I thought she was just sitting there all alone.
Maybe.
Rotting. No, I think she was left there for a little while.
Was she still alive? I can't remember.
No,
all I remember is this.
No, if you don't remember, she was on her couch. She didn't move. She died. Nobody noticed that she was not leaving the house.
What's that noise? Oh, it's the bar dropping.
Yes. And, anyway, and so they're like, well, let's get her on several stretchers, and they're going to pick her up.
They could get the harness like Shamu.
And she and the sofa had become one.
No.
It's true. Sarah remembers
the story. I remember they couldn't get her off the sofa. She was, like, she'd grown into the sofa.
Where was this?
New York. They're all in New York, baby.
No,
all
they're
of these
in Florida,
stories.
Too. No, they're Florida.
They had to cut out
see that.
Florida of the couch.
Florida, you got the humidity, too. That's no walk in the park.
Well, that makes them all extra puffy and sticky. Okay, we all need a good bath.
Is it unpleasant for women to get up if you're nude on a vinyl couch on a hot summer day? Is that unpleasant for you, too, or is it just for
we
men?
We have skin, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
I know you have skin.
What's the... Yeah. Yeah, no, I've never really tried it, have you?
I don't have any.
Women have skin, too. Is that like a Dr. Phil lesson? Women have skin, too.
Does he sing?
No. Let me read this. Rick. Oh, this is a question for Storm. Rick, I'm not much into music these days, as evidenced by the fact that I listen to nothing but talk radio. God bless you, sir.
Yay.
I don't even remember the last CD I bought. However, Storm's Ladylike has rekindled something in my brain. I will literally just play it over and over again at full volume, and it's probably terrifying to see the waspiest wasp who has ever wasped. living and Tigered, singing at the top of his lungs to the R-rated version.
Nice.
It's a great song, a classic, and I don't say that lightly. Just wanted to say thanks to Storm and the Balls for injecting some musical passion into my life that I haven't had in years.
Aww.
So there you go.
You're welcome.
That's like those emails that you see to porn stars about, like, you have rekindled.
I know.
I never thought that we would love with the spark we once had again. But Jenna Jameson, your videos have rekindled the passion in my relationship. I find my corpulent wife as attractive as ever I did.
Storm, I was so cool. I was looking for pictures for my website the other day. And I saw you on a bunch of paparazzi websites.
Oh, yeah.
For like Dave Navarro's party, and then you dressed as a man. And...
Yeah. And then they were trying to angle that I was still sleeping with Dave Navarro, or some kind of that I don't know. It's just like,
I caught that. That was really weird.
It was really weird. It's like I'm like, can I sleep with somebody else? I mean, I love Dave, but by all accounts of all of the tabloids, we've been having like a relationship for probably more than a month, and that's
off the Tommy Lee thing. They were going that pretty well.
Oh, really? Man, she said photograph
Tommy Lee
mm-hmm. and Lucas macking on each other.
Oh, that's just them having fun. I'm serious. They're not.
Okay,
I guarantee no penetrative anything other than.
Oh no, I'm not thinking they're gay.
Well, no, I'm not thinking that. But I do have to go in. You say that's just them having fun. Look, I know a lot of ways to have fun. At no point does Scotty and I just.
No, but
I got a few seconds.
No, but that's,
what are you
that's
doing?
Tommy and Lucas. Tommy and Lucas are like that, and they're big physical boys, and they're really fun and very sexual in that way. And they don't care. They don't care what it looks like. They're just. They're rockers, man. They don't care.
It is true. Well, there are guys. And again, it's not that I have any problem with it. I do get the feeling Mick Jagger's and Prince. Mick Jagger
David Bowie.
And David Bowie, where it's like you get the feeling they, you know, no women around? Well, do you
David
have
David Bowie and Iggy Pop.
Do you have a brother? No?
Yeah.
How about this chair? You know, and it's just like whatever, you know, go to bed with a guava.
Yeah, there was a time when you were an actor, you know, you had to like marry, if you were gay, you had to marry a woman. She was your beard. Am I not supposed to say
Oh, no,
gay?
No.
We were just talking about
that. Did you hear that story that we had yesterday about Jimmy Stewart?
No.
Oh, no, no, no. No, it's a great story.
Oh,
let me find
no,
it.
No,
no. No, no, it's Gene. No, you got to hear it.
Well,
no,
it doesn't matter. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. You'll find the story. But actors, it's still kind of not cool for actors to be gay. But musicians always have been androgynous and been heavily encouraged to be sexual in ways that the common populace are not encouraged to be.
No, it's true.
We've got to be the scumbags that people live vicariously through.
All right, hold on. Let me read this story here. This is from the Independent UK, but I've seen this on several sites, so I know that. And this is, I guess, from an upcoming biography of him. Let's see. This is the Jimmy Stewart. Here we go. Root around the history of Hollywood, you won't find too many stars with a cleaner, more wholesome reputation than Jimmy Stewart. But blah, 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 blah. Mark Elliott, author of a previously acclaimed biography of Cary Grant, says the notoriously tyrannical MGM boss, Louis B. Mayer, was so concerned about the young Stewart's apparent lack of interest in the ladies, he forced him to visit a brothel so people wouldn't start gossiping that he was gay. And I don't have the full story that we read yesterday, but it does recite this great conversation. Now, what I want you to do, because people can't go thinking you're a homo, now you need to go to the brothel. And he actually said, because Jimmy Stewart's like, no, but Mr. Mayer, I don't fancy the ladies that way, and I don't wish to, you know. And he said, you need to go over, get your rocks off, 2-3 women, come back, you give me the details, then you'll be a star. And then it's like you don't want to picture it in your head suddenly. Of a rage around, you know, and just a whole, like, you don't want to, you know.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he was, not that there's anything wrong if Jimmy Stewart was gay, there's nothing wrong with that, but that was the era where it was completely taboo. It was just not, there's a great movie, I think it was called Out of the Closet or something.
The Celluloid Closet.
The Celluloid.
That's a great documentary,
and it was, and people have been totally stigmatized. Where I stayed in that mansion, it was haunted by this woman, supposedly, who married this man, and she was ultimately his beard because he was gay, and it was completely not acceptable. And there's all kinds of marriages arranged like that still to this day, I think.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, and Sarah said that you think they're already married. You think that the Katie Holmes and Tucker's already got married today.
I do, because I was reading a report that they were at City Hall in Rome today. Which means they probably already signed the marriage license, which means it probably already, it's done.
And the weird thing is,
she's already been the chip has been put into her skin.
You see her now, and she's like some faded, sun-bleached version of herself, because you might watch like Pieces of April, or Go, or just like any of those.
Even Dawson's Creek.
Even
Dawson's Creek. The main character, and she was a saucy little thing.
She just seems like a different person now, altogether.
Well, it's a huge, I mean, besides Tom Cruise being such a huge megastar, there's just so much attached to him beyond his. I mean, let's be plain here. He's a really good actor. He's done a lot of great stuff. So his fame is earned, you know, officially. But you know, there's a lot of crap that comes with Tom Cruise.
And he looks. I don't think I'm projecting or viewing him through some prism. I mean, maybe a little bit. But he looks flat-out screaming Hitler Youth crazy when I see him now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the sunglasses and the fact that every time they snap a photo of him, it's like his mouth is open like he's trying to unhinge it to eat a guinea pig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's take this call real quick, and then we'll do a thing and then so forth. Hello, DJ. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. I got a worst smell story ever.
Okay. Oh, yeah, baby. Come on.
I hesitated thinking it might be too gross, but I realized it's not possible on the show.
Thank you.
I drive truck for a living.
Okay. Like
about 6 to 8 years ago, there's a scale house northbound I-5 just before you get into Seattle.
All right.
On the uphill side of it, of the freeway. A truck in front of me, it's got a 40-foot trailer with 4-foot steel sides and end dump. He's hauling rendering materials.
This is like
the consistency of runny oatmeal.
I
don't know if he actually rear-ended the truck in front of him going into that scale, or if he just slammed on his brakes hard enough that the wave on that 40-foot trailer come forward, shot up over the top of the of the trailer and over the top of the truck. It was an open top trailer.
Oh, good Lord.
And coated 3 lanes of freeway 4 inches thick with this stuff.
Yeah, that's good God. And not enough scrubbing bubbles in the world for that, my friend.
I have no idea what they did to clean it up. There's a hillside beside the freeway, and all the cops and anybody that was out investigating it, they were all up like 300 feet away from it. You know, just looking down and talking about it and not. I had no idea what to do.
It's like that story we had the other day about some people, the family in an SUV with with the sunroof open and all the windows down, and they're following a bus, and the bus loses the load from the latrine.
No.
And it was
no.
a...
and the way home from Mother's Day dinner.
Yeah, and it was a lot of, like, it was a lot of, despite repeated power washing, the smell of feces could not be removed from her hair.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me of another really worst smell ever story, and then we could move on. Are you done, caller?
No, I see some.
When I was a punk rock runaway, I was living on, kind of on the street, off and on, and in Harvard Square in Boston, in Cambridge. And they had this big bike regatta that had to do with the university, Harvard University. And there were porta potties all set up by the train station, which was Harvard Square train station, which is kind of where we all skateboarded and hung out.
That's where my sister actually works. She works in Harvard Square.
Ah, so she knows.
That's a nice area.
It's a very nice area. And we loved, like, bumming change and being punk rock dirtbags hanging out at the train station. And they had these porta potties hanging out, and we noticed that it would be really, really funny that every time someone, it was 4th of July, burning hot, Boston, like sticky, lots of tourists, it was packed, the streets were packed, and so we're all hanging out, and we always thought it was very fun when someone got in a porta potty to jump near it and, like, knock on it and shake it, and it was really fun, and there was this one punk rock guy, kind of a burnout, named Starchild, who took a lot of acid in his youth, and he was, like, one of those guys who was, like, 46 years old, but hung out with all, like, 16-year-old kids, just one of those guys, and we would, this one guy got into the last porta-potty, and he was wearing this great big, I just remember he had a Hawaiian shirt on. He was kind of a heavier guy. Flipped us some lip. I get a job. Layabouts. Blah, blah, blah. You know, gets in the porta potty. So we give it a good shaking. And we jump down. We're like shaking and knocking on. He's like, hey, stop it. And then over our heads, Starchild had gotten on top of the train station. Jumps from the top of the train station to the top of the porta potty, knocking it onto its door.
Oh my God.
It was like this 3-level shockwave. We were like, oh my God, it fell. Oh my God, it fell on the door. Oh my God, what's coming out the bottom of it?
And he's locked inside because he fell on the door.
And the police were terrified to go near it because these awful chemicals,
contaminants,
and wads of brown and things coming out of it.
The biohazard, I mean.
Oh my good God. And you hear this coming from inside, and just then the smell rushed up and got us. It was horrible and wonderful and probably the worst thing I ever saw happen to anybody. They got him out finally, but no one, he was trying to press charges.
Oh, he never ate again.
The police never went near him.
He's taking his meals intravenously to this day.
God.
And I got to tell you this.
The worst thing ever.
He will never, how long ago was this?
This was when I was like, God, 17, 16,
he'll never forget that
21
smell.
Years, no.
You find him now, you just smell. Oh,
he's probably never used a porta potty.
He's probably just in the corner twitching. Well, I got to tell you, every time, and this is, I think a lot of people share this. By the way, you're listening to KCMD AM Portland, if you're curious. we're here with Storm Large. And we'll talk to Jim Roop here in just a moment. Hey, Scotty, tell Jim Roop we'll get here in just a second. I'd like to hear Storm's thoughts on this, too. And then we got to do some other stuff. So
we'll wrap it.
A billion things going on at once, of course. So we'll talk to Jim in just a second. But I got to tell you, I think it's a very common fear that whenever I get into, and I hate the phrase porta potty, and what's even worse, I thought that was bad until honey bucket.
That's
honey
the worst.
Bucket.
Why honey bucket? Honey bucket makes me think of, you know, Yogi Bear and honey pots and like and Winnie the Pooh. A honey bucket, not
Pooh.
Something filled with feces and blue liquid.
Imagine
and children's vomit and
and their sweet tears. Oh, your sweet tears. They taste like wine, Scott Tenorman.
I'll pee in a field before I go into one of those things.
I prefer outside as well.
You talked about that rose. You fell into a rose bush one time. You had that house, and there's a whole lot of squatting and falling.
But
every time I am in a portable latrine, I have that fear that there's going to be some miscreants and I'm pushing over.
Because
you have to just go home and kill yourself.
I've seen it. I will never, not in the single ones. I'll get in the big handicap ones that have a big base. Or the ones they have at Rose Festival where they have
together.
It's a trailer kind of thing. Yeah. It's actually bathrooms. Yeah, that's the only way for me. Or I'm peeing in public. I don't care.
Well, because then, like, think about this. I mean, if that happens, how are you getting home? Ain't no bus going to put you on there. No cab driver going to pick you up. It's like the time my dad fell through a cow.
Yes. Wreck with
yes, you did.
Floating in the river.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's my free bird. That's one of my power. If I was a music station, that'd be a gold.
That's the best. I'm going to use that line. I'm going to try to pick up a chick with that line. Hey, can I tell you a story about what time my dad fell through a cow? You're going to need a drink for this story.
That's my friends in low places. It comes up about every 90 minutes. Well, Jim's going to call back here in a second, so we should take this opportunity. You guys are at the Crystal day after tomorrow.
Yes, day after tomorrow. It is not quite yet sold out. It's pretty darn close, but we... About 100 tickets left, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a big rock star beverage mix it up contest. There's some great bands from all over town who I guess wrote a jingle for. They had Rockstar the Drink put up this track of music, and you can write your own music to it or whatever. And so all 9 finalists or something are going to be performing, as well as Storm in the Balls, your favorite local phenoms. So we will be there, and it will be wonderful.
Fantastic. Have you played Iceland? Are you going to play Iceland?
I'm playing Magni's birthday party in Iceland for 5,000 people.
How
that's like
exciting.
A quarter of the population.
Is it Reykjavik? Or is it...
It's in Reykjavik, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm so psyched. So
when is it?
It's November the 30th. I'm flying out of Boston on the 27th, and then... rehearsing with the house band, Fabulous House Band, who we saw last week.
Oh, man, how great were those guys at Paul Stanley?
God.
And how great was he, by the way? I expected almost nothing from that show.
Me too.
You figured small venue and he's not with Kiss, but it was
so awesome.
Loose and great.
He has a great personality on stage. I didn't know, you know, I didn't really have any expectations other than he was going to play probably at some point Strutter and at some point Detroit Rock City. I had heard from the house band that he was having issues with his voice and he had to get a tooth out or some root canal or something.
Yeah.
And so he'd had some health issues on the road, but boy, what a cool guy.
Just, and he's, you know, and I have always really, he's always been kind of my guy. And like I said, if you saw Bigger Than Jesus, you know that about 80% of what I do, I just flat out stole from that guy. He was great. We had played the song DOA by Blood Rock earlier, which is this really creepy song about a plane crash, blah, 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 blah. The only reason I mention that is to say that I got an email from this woman. She says, I hate flying as much as cats hate to be pushed into a tub filled with water. And she was talking about how horrified she was that we played this song about the plane crash because Sarah from Puerto Rico, she's in San Juan, booked tickets to fly to Portland to see Storm in the Balls on Saturday.
Ah, excellent.
Her name is Sarah.
Wow.
I won't give her last name, but her name is Sarah. She's from Puerto Rico, and she said, how is the weather in Portland? Please tell me it doesn't go below the 70s.
Sarah.
So in the audience.
She's here tomorrow, so.
You will have somebody from West San Juan in the audience to see you there. So.
Excellent. I'm so excited.
All right. Are you taking off? You say you got time to talk about O.J. Simpson?
Oh, I would love to, but I gotta go. Actually am going to a juvenile rehabilitation center to talk to some kids about music. It's going to be pretty cool.
That's really
very cool.
With a heart of gold.
Well, you know, I have to fake it. No, it's going to be cool. I'm actually really nervous about it, so I'm excited. But
what?
Play her song into the break.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yes.
Well, this is Jim Roop. Do we have to take Jim before the break?
Well, we already missed one break. I'm about ready to miss the second. Can we take him in 15 minutes?
Shall we find... Well, he already had to call back. Hello, Jim Roop.
Oh, sorry.
I don't care. That's fine.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you,
sorry, Jim.
Sorry,
Jim. I don't want you to get cut short.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. You got to pay the bills or you don't have a show. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Jim Roop, because we've got to talk about O.J. Simpson, whose trip to hell is now assured.
Oh, I love it.
Can we call back or hang on?
We just got to take a break. You want to...
Jim, can you give Scotty your phone number and we can call you right after the break, son? I don't want you to have to wait through it.
I don't mind. First of all, I love your sponsors.
God bless you, Jim.
Good man.
You are a good person.
Secondly, I don't care. I'll call back.
All right.
Okay, honey.
I'll tell you what. We'll come back with Jim Roop one way or the other. Also, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Storm in the Balls live at the Crystal Ballroom this Saturday. Tickets available at
TicketWeb or Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster
and at the door.
Oh.
Ooh. She says, adjusting her skirt.
My skirt's really.
I like it.
Thanks.
Makes your butt look good.
I can't top that, so we're going to go out with this. Ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large. There you go. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay there. And you need the tech to get to her. And all the way.